Busted Pencils is an independent production and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy!
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Wow! It is Tuesday night already. Educated educators talking education. I have to admit, you know, Johnny, and then we'll introduce our guest, but this is Tim's first remote broadcast. I'm in Ashland, Wisconsin. Literally, Lake Superior is truly a stone's throw away from where I'm at right now, visiting my son. Evan, thank you for managing the production in Madison. So we've got Tim's in way up in Wisconsin. Johnny's in Washington, the state of Washington. And welcome back, great return guest. I'm going to start with this title because I like this title first. Lead Learner Commissioner of Education in the state of Kentucky, Dr. Jason Glass. Dr. Jason Glass, welcome back to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Johnny. It's a delight to be with both of you. And thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate the chance to just talk education with you too.
Yeah, it's, and boy, there's a lot of talking about education going on all over the country right now.
That's the truth.
In fact, I mean, one of the, you know, we wanted to really have you on because we're deep into this, what, 6-7 weeks. I mean, Johnny, we've had different guests, whether it's Julian Vasquez-Heleg, whether it's, you know, Dr. Nancy Carlson-Page, now Dr. Jason Glass. This, the country's fixation on, quote, critical race theory, what can be taught, what can't be taught. And being the commissioner of education in the state of Kentucky, you actually addressed and put forward in words, in writing, an address about how we might want to be thinking about this in the state of Kentucky. And so many different powerful words and the ways of framing this. But Jason, first question though, when you started hearing about critical race theory and we should have some type of law banning it, as a learner, as a teacher, what were you thinking?
Well, a couple of things. First, anytime I hear we ought to ban something, it really slows me down because I come from the school of thought of, you know, good ideas emerge from honest conversations and sometimes hard conversations. So I'm a big fan of Tim Snyder's work, the historian from Yale. He's written and spent his whole life studying tyrannies and autocratic regimes. And, you know, this is one of the tools in the playbook that tyrants and autocrats use is censorship, banning things and banning the interpretation of historical events. So that really gave me pause. The second thing, when I heard about it, I wasn't really sure what critical race theory was. I mean, I think I remembered it from some grad school class I had at some point, but it's just not something in the K-12 world that we rely on a lot. So I think, I don't know if you know this, if you were a proponent of critical race theory and you wanted people to learn more about it, you couldn't have asked for a better perfect storm really than for it to get whipped up into the common landscape. Because now I think there's probably more hits on the critical race theory's Wikipedia site, including me, that went there as a starting point to learn about it, than you could have ever gotten on its own. But so those were my two reactions is, whoa, when I heard censorship and let's ban conversations or an idea, let's really be thoughtful about, is that the right thing to do? And second, what is this concept that they're so upset about? And let's learn more about that. So I wanted to learn what are the objections coming from the right? What are they concerned about? And learn more about that to understand their perspective.
Are you muted?
Yeah, we got a little
Johnny, as I come through this, sorry, Evan, I'm trying to work through that. But I want to just read the second paragraph, Jason, just to give people a sense where you were coming from. And this is quote from your statement. I want to begin by stating that the Kentucky Department of Education and I are not the legal defense team for critical race theory or CRT. If the legislature wishes to have an in-depth briefing on CRT, then I'd suggest a legal or academic scholar who has studied and uses the concept in some depth. While we have an understanding and a familiarity with CRT and have worked to expand our knowledge on the theory in preparation for this meeting, we are not experts or users. That, I think, I just, that statement where you, it's like the difference between critical race theory as an academic form of scholarship and the difference between the Commissioner of Education and curriculum. The way you laid that out to me was that really nice balance of saying, this is something that's real, that's something that's happening, but it's not something we do in K-12 at the academic scholarship level. Is that the first thing trying to, that you wanted to get across? You're not, I like that. We're not the legal defense team of CRT. That part too, I liked.
Right. Well, you know, I give credit to our legislators when these pre-filed bills. So what's happening in Kentucky is we've seen in other states, these bills got rushed through the legislative session and enacted. So several states already have these gag bills, censorship bills on critical race theory out there. So Kentucky's legislature is not in session. So we had two bills, pre-filed bills, in advance of January's legislative session. So credit to our legislators, what they did is they held a hearing. They said, we want to learn more about it. And they brought in people with different perspectives on it. And I was one of those. So I'm not an expert in critical race theory. I haven't spent my life studying it or applying it. But I felt like I had an obligation when the legislature called me over as the state chief of education to brief them on it. I had an obligation to do my due diligence and learn about it. So that's what I did. So that was the heart of my statement, is just to say, I'm not an expert, but I'm here. I can talk to you about CRT and its use or lack thereof in Kentucky schools, and how it might apply and what some of the implications of the bills that you're considering will have. So I really just came at it from a perspective of I had a lot to learn about it, and I wanted to share that learning with my legislators and have them think some and consider what the implications of the bills they were considering might have.
Mm. Johnny.
Yeah, Jason, I mean, thank you for doing that work and for leading, you know, learners as a learner. That's always a really kind of important thing that we're always talking about in educational leadership is, you know, we're learners leading learners. And so that's a really important and thoughtful place to be, especially in a democracy, and a really exciting place to be when we're all really responsible for responding to, like you said, kind of the rise of authoritarianism for these kinds of things like tactics, like bans and censorships, and that it's not anything goes. That, like, we talked a little bit in some of our past conversations about the importance of education as a state right. There's a lot of emphasis on local control of things from all kinds of political parties. But for teachers and school leaders, you know, I think this is a really important moment. And we've been talking about it on the show, and I'd love for you to speak a little bit to it, because you do in your statement. There's this sort of chilling effect when these tactics are deployed, right? When you say, like, critical race theory is scary, and we can look it up and we can run around and say, well, that's not exactly what we're actually doing in our schools. So let's learn about it a little bit and let's respond. But there's a chilling effect. And we talked to a lot of teachers who are getting ready to go into schools this fall, and they're kind of thinking about their curriculum, and they're like a little bit caught like deer in headlights. What do we do? And so just thinking about your perspective as a learner leading learners, what are you telling your teachers and your school leaders?
Well, I tried to, I think, draw some distinctions between the elements of critical race theory and what it is, going back to the legal framework that it emerged from and the academic framework that's built around it and the writings around it. So my definition of critical race theory is based on analyzing that and building from that, and to draw a distinction between that and the work around equity that really has been going on for decades and that has been raised up over the past year after George Floyd's murder, Breonna Taylor's killing. So equity has become really important, even more important. But you can go back to, you know, Lyndon Johnson's first Elementary and Secondary Education Act, and it's all about equity. You can go back to what President Bush was talking about, No Child Left Behind. It's all about equity. So to draw that distinction for our legislators, because I think that in the popular right-wing news broadcasts around this, we have seen this conflation of equity principles and critical race theory. And I would argue that they are not the same thing. We even got, one of the bill sponsors challenged me on this distinction between equity and equality and which one of these is right. My response was really equity is a path to equality, right? And that we have to recognize that not everyone comes into our schools with the same advantages and supports. And as educators, we have to take that into account and provide those supports to our students so that they can all lead successful lives and follow the American dream or whatever their version of it that they're pursuing. So I really think that it was important to create this distinction between critical race theory and the elements of it, and especially some of the things that our friends on the right were saying are being taught in schools and examine, is that really happening? And then also to draw a distinction between that and the work around equity, which has really been going on for decades and involved special education, free and reduced lunch, getting kids on buses and transporting them to school, making sure that all kids can participate in sports and athletics. I mean, all of these things are equity concepts. And if we stop all of that, we are never going to be a great education system as a nation if we can't approach it with an equity lens.
But when you do it like that, Jason, and I know we're going to come up on that first break, and you put those together, I think that's a really important way to remind people when we're talking about equity to understand the spectrum across some of those ideas. As we do this, but then to also remind people back though to what we said. The memory laws, and the historian you cited, if we're going to make laws about memory, and then you talk about equity, and these gains that we've been trying to make, or we've even made some of these, so for me, something as simple as children's literature now is really, we start saying, well, we finally over the past 20 years start to see representation of children of color in children's books. That's a version of equity. And, I think it's okay also to be pointed enough to say, and that's also something that we're really, we're proud that we made some of these gains. And what these memory laws that you're conflating with CRT or mixing up with CRT has a real risk of not just downplaying some of the broader things of equity, but really saying like, look, we had a long problem of representation in the curriculum of who I see. Do I see myself if I'm this child, this person of color? And I don't see that. So Johnny, as we're rolling in, and Jason, I want to think about that, and let's move into this, that curricular issue. Think about equity, curriculum, and how does memory put back, how do we focus and keep memory engaged in that? So Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, back after the break.